in it for the kicks, back in my day.
If you listened to last week's show, we rocked a killer tune from a local hero of the breakbeat realm, Timmy Schumacher. Now this week, I thought what better way to find out what he's been up to lately and get the lowdown on his classic anthem, What's Down Low?
Just been plugging away, writing tunes. Wrote a track with a friend of mine from the US, producer by the name of Red Tree. And we released a track on a Tokyo label called 19 Box Records, run by DJ 19, who's been a bit of a kind of a figurehead in the Japanese sort of progressive sort of trance housey kind of scene for quite some time. We released that track. That's called Five. It's been doing all right out there. And just been also working on a few new tunes for a side project as well. So yeah, just trying to get a whole bunch of new tunes together, like a beat tape to send out to some labels and stuff, and that's what I've been working on.
Now back in the day, a lot of people know you from your huge hit called What's Down Low. How did that track, all the way back in 2003, 2004, come to be?
I'd kind of started writing some tunes up at COG with Beta Cell. We'd written a few tunes together, but I don't think we'd really cracked it as such. Nothing that we felt right about sending to any labels overseas. I guess the breaks thing was blowing up in the UK and Aussie, it was huge. And I guess the idea was to get some stuff out overseas, and that's what we both wanted to do. So we got writing, and we were kind of just working in the studio, and we came up with What's Down Low, and decided to send a beat tape off to a few labels overseas to see if we could get some bites. And we got a bite from Aquasky, who at the time had finished up writing drum and bass and had released on Moving Shadow and so forth, and then started a breaks label, Passenger Records, and at the time they were releasing some really fresh sounding material, and I was a big fan of theirs, and it was really great to get an email back from them. They listened to the whole beat tape. There was like five or six tracks that we sent to them on a CD, and they got back and they were like, yeah, What's Down Low is the one. I think that the exact quote from the email was big, dark and soulful or something like that they said to us, and they're like, this is exactly the kind of sound that we're looking for. And so we were stoked, and at the time it was just a beat that we'd sent to them, so we had to kind of work out a vocalist. We felt that it needed a vocal, and they kind of agreed. So there was one vocalist that we'd heard, Bex Riley, who was a Wellington, at the time she was living in Wellington, and we'd heard her on one of Agent Alvin's tracks. He had a track on Return of the Boomschwack, which was our Australasian breaks compilation that myself and Beta Cell A&R'd and released through COG. So we hit her up, and she was real keen, and she was up in Auckland, and we got together with her in the studio, and looking back, that vocal couldn't have been any more perfectly suited to any other tune I've written. She was absolutely ideal for it. Heaps of soul, that kind of naivete, I guess, that every female dance vocal needs. So yeah, she came up and laid down the vocal for us, and we released the the edited vocal on the track. That was the one that went, that got pressed to vinyl. Beta Cell and I wrote the vocals together. When we couldn't come up with any ideas, on late night sessions, we used to walk down to the Gull in Kingsland and eat fried chicken. That's pretty much what we'd do. So a lot of fried chicken went into the writing of the vocals of What's Down Low. We were just juggling ideas, and I was like, oh, I had that vocal in my head. It's What's Up Top That Counts. I don't know what dance track it's from. And then Chris was like, nah, it's What's Down Low. And I was like, hey, that could work, And then we just started essentially just throwing ideas together. And like, if you listen to the vocal of What's Down Low, it's like a whole lot of chorus lines thrown together. It's like just a bunch of choruses jumbled together. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But as long as it's got that soulful intention behind it and that passion that Bex sings it with, that's kind of the main thing. So, yeah, that's kind of how we came up with it, really. We just brainstormed it. And at the time, we had a technique where we'd just throw words in. We went online and we found a rhyming generator online. And we were just throwing words in and just, like, seeing what it came up with. So that's how we got all the rhymes. But actually, from memory, there are no... I don't think there's anything rhyming in it, actually. But we used it anyway to see what we could come up with. I think we used it on other tracks, maybe not on What's Down Low. But yeah, so yeah, we just brainstormed a whole lot of cool ideas that we thought sounded cool and just wrote the vocal together, really. So yeah, just handed it to Bex Riley and she just went into the vocal booth and just sang it and smashed it.
Just threw together a whole bunch of cliches and nothingness.
Pretty much.
Awesome.
I mean, what else do you need in a dance track? That's the whole thing. You just need the vibe and the feeling to go with the track, really. And everything else just gels into place if it works out well, you know. So Aquasky pressed a vinyl and released it, and it went through like 3 or 4 runs and it just kept selling. And yeah, we knew through some of the stats that we were getting back at the time that for about a month in the year we released it, which was around about sometime in, I think it was like February 2004, we had worked out that it was pretty much the highest selling breaks tune in the world at that time across the globe, as far, you know, to the best of our knowledge, as far as the statistics were showing us. So that was a big boost. The tune started sort of piquing people's interest in New Zealand as well. That kind of the overseas success kind of fed it, and everything started picking up. Everything was timing well. Breaks were kind of coming through as the new cool thing. We'd signed to this great label overseas, and we managed to get a New Zealand On Air grant, and which at the time COG had not got very many grants. You know, they hadn't got virtually no music video grants as far as I was aware, because I remember at the time, you know, Mark Kneebone was working there, and I remember the shock on his face when he came through the door. He's like, "You guys got a video grant." And we were just like, whoa, you know, like, and that was kind of at that point that we knew that everything was slowly, the gears were kind of cranking to a start, you know, with the whole thing. So we kind of just started working it. We got it playlisted on B and got it played around the place. Got a lot of good support here and there up and down the country. We got support and great feedback from you know, some of the tastemakers in the game overseas. Graham Gold was playing it, who's a trance guy, but it's quite multi-genre. Freestylers were playing it. At the time, DJ Hyper, who was quite a big kind of name in the scene. Hybrid, one of the guys from Hybrid, was playing it. Teo was playing it. Freak Nasty was playing it. Everything was kind of just sort of falling into place, you know what I mean? So then we released the clip, which was a animated video, which was animated by Mike 3D, who had done some flyers for me, some quite well-known flyers around the city at the time for a night that I put on. I had my show on BFM Beat Freaks, and I had my night at FUBAR, and he was doing flyers for me for my night. So, you know, we were like, "Mike, you know, do you want to step it up and give it a go at doing a clip for us?" So I did like this quite dark sort of clip. It had quite a striking visual style, which was quite rhythmic with the tune, but it was sort of quite dark at the same time as well, and it had cityscapes and, you know, like detail from cityscapes, like gutter, you know, guttering coming down the side of a building, but, you know, it was cutting in time with the music, so it was kind of an interesting juxtaposition for the clip. So then, after a while, we started working on more material together, myself and Beta Cell, and we released the album The Wall of Bass Technique, which featured another track that we got signed with Passenger, which was Lock and Load, which did pretty well as well. Then we got nominated for a TUI for Best Electronic Album, which we didn't win. And then we kind of split off and did our own thing, really, after that.